We look now to the Word of God. We do come to this sixth chapter as we're going through an exposition of the Gospel of John. And this Lord's Day morning, we want to take up our reading with verse 60. We're going to read down through verse 65, and this will be our text for this morning's message, Holy Scripture. It says, beginning in verse 60, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' And Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father.'" Now let's join together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come to You now. And Father, as we come to You having read from Your holy word, we come, Lord, with a desire to hear and submit ourselves to Your word. Father, we pray that You would give us a delight in receiving the truths of Your word today. Lord, that You would soften those hearts which are hardened, that You would make receptive those who are inclined to reject, that You would give to those who do not desire and do not want Your word hearts that are changed, that they might receive the word of truth today. Lord, we pray that Your people would be found faithful to You in this very regard. And Lord, that as we look to Your word today, we would pray that You would write Your word upon our hearts afresh. Lord, that You would incline our hearts to Your word and incline Your word unto our hearts. We ask You, dear God, that You would bring salvation, that You would bring conviction, that You would bring edification for Your people, and Lord, that You would add to Your kingdom, to Your church, that You would receive all the glory. This is our prayer, dear God, we ask, and we pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. As we come to this sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, and as we have been looking at this chapter for the last few weeks, we have noticed a couple of patterns in this great chapter. On the one hand, we have noticed a very insightful and detailed revelation about Jesus Christ. The chapter begins with Jesus feeding this great multitude, a great public ministry of miracle. And then we noted that great private miracle of Jesus walking on the water. As we continue through the chapter, we read these profound sayings and teachings from Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus identifying Himself as the bread of life. He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven. And I am the one for whom it can be truly said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." We notice another pattern as we look at this sixth chapter. Not only do we see this profound revelation about Jesus Christ, we note a very pointed response to Jesus Christ. This chapter records for us different reactions, different responses to the teachings and the truths about our Savior. You could categorize them into three different responses. The first response is the response of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish teachers of that day. If you look back with me in chapter 6, you will note that in this chapter there actually is a twofold record of their response. The first record of that is found over in verse 41. Look at verse 41. It says, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" There was this murmuring. There was this reaction of grumbling about his teaching. You will note over in chapter 6, verse 52, another record of their reaction to the Lord. It says, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" What was the response? What was the reaction of the Jewish leaders? Well, it was not one of reception. Amen. It was one of questioning. It was one of criticizing. It was one where they did not receive, they did not embrace, they would not accept Jesus, nor would they embrace or accept His teaching. They were hostile to what He had to say, and hostile to Him because He said it. The second response to Jesus is what we will consider today in our message, and that, of course, is the response or this record of the reaction of these apparent disciples of Jesus, beginning in verse 60 down through verse 65. And we're going to look at that in some detail here in just a moment. The third reaction to Jesus is, of course, the reaction that begins in verse 67, just to give us the three different reactions. And this, of course, is the reaction of the 12. Jesus turns to the 12, and then Jesus said unto the 12, verse 67, "Will ye also go away?" And then we see the reaction of the 12. As we look at the Gospel of John, just to give something of an overview up to this point, we remember that the Gospel of John began with Jesus teaching and preaching and doing great miracles, primarily in Judea. We read about Him calling the 12. We read about Him turning the water into wine. And we read of that great account of Jesus conversing with that great religious leader, Nicodemus. And yet we read about His ministry in Judea, that as He continued on in that ministry, what happened? Well, His popularity waned and the hostility to Jesus increased, and it intensified. It became greater and stronger. At first, people were receiving Him. At first, people were curious about Him. Even Nicodemus, this great teacher of the law, was interested to see, what is it that Jesus is teaching and saying? We want to know more. "We recognize that You must be a prophet of God," Nicodemus said himself. If you'll turn back over into chapter 4, you will note that Jesus, feeling and sensing something of the growing hostility and the growing rejection, He moves His ministry from Judea into Galilee. It says in chapter 4, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee." He must needs go through Samaria. And then, of course, this begins this Galilean ministry. How did Jesus have a reception in Galilee? How do you compare the two? Well, whenever you compare the two reactions, what you discover is that they are very similar indeed. There was, at the beginning, popularity, acceptance, interest, embracing. And then as time went along, and as they started to hear, and they started to digest what He was teaching and what He was saying, there became this increasing hostility and rejection and question and criticism of Jesus' ministry. And so really what we see here is what happened in Judea is what is repeated as He goes to Galilee. Now, as we look at the reaction here, If you'll look back to John chapter 6, verses 60 through 65, we concern ourselves with this second response to Jesus. We already know the religious leaders, they criticized Him. They rejected Him. They did not want to hear Him, and they sought out to undermine, undercut, and somehow stifle His ministry. Something of an outline that you may want if you're taking notes and looking at these verses. Three main points to our message this morning. In verse 60, we note the rejection of Jesus. That's verse 60. And then verse 61, part A, we note what I am calling the perception of Jesus. And then verse 61, part B, down to the end of verse 65, is the reaction of Jesus. So very simple, we have the rejection of Jesus, the perception of Jesus, and then finally, the reaction of Jesus. Let's look at these one after the other. First of all, verse 60, the rejection of Jesus. It says, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Here we have recorded this response and the rejection of these apparent disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note the number of those who rejected. Look at verse 60 again. It says, the very first word of verse 60, "many, therefore, of His disciples." Not a handful, not just a few, but many of them, the majority of them, a great number of them, started to question and murmur, and they had it as a difficulty in embracing His teaching. These words here, look at verse 60 again, they are described as His disciples who had problems with this teaching. Now, obviously, this word disciples is used in a general and in a broad sense of the word. It is the text here's indication that it is separate from the 12 disciples. This great mass, this great majority, this great throng of people who had been following Jesus and who apparently were adherents of Jesus' ministry and His teaching, they now started to question Him. They now started to become critical of what He was saying, and they started to reject, as a majority, the teachings of our Lord. Look at verse 60 again. We note the number who rejected. Note the nature of their rejection. It says in verse 60, the nature of their rejection is, they said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" That word there for hard saying is the word skleros in the Greek New Testament. It means it is a tough saying. And it is in the emphatic position in the text. It is the opposite of the Greek word malakos, which means soft. They said, "This is a hard saying. This is a difficult saying. This saying, Jesus, this teaching that You have, it is very tough." And I want to be very clear on this. What they're saying in this objection and their rejection of Jesus, they are not saying that it was difficult for them to understand what He was saying. It was not that they had it as a difficulty to grasp the intention of what Jesus is saying here. No, that's not the idea. It wasn't that it was hard to understand. It was hard for them to accept. It was hard for them to receive. It was hard for them to tolerate. And so as they heard the teachings of Jesus, they didn't like what He was saying. They didn't like what He was teaching. It got under their hackles and it bothered them. As they went along and as they followed Jesus, as long as they were not completely sure what He was saying, they kept on following Him. But as they started to really grasp the intentions of what He was saying, it was then that it became difficult to follow. What was it about Jesus' teaching that was difficult for them to stomach? Well, three things. First of all, and I want us to look at this as it is found right here in chapter 6, The first thing that was difficult for them to accept was Jesus' teaching about His own incarnation. His teaching about His own incarnation. Look up at verse 32. Jesus here said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread which that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which giveth, which cometh down from heaven and giveth light into the world." I want you to notice that phrase there of coming from heaven, coming down from heaven. Now look down just a few more verses in verse 38. In verse 38, again, we have this phrase about Jesus, "For I came down from heaven." Notice again this statement again in verse 41. In verse 41, it says, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven." And then notice over in verse 51, again, this statement is repeated. "I am the living bread which," what, congregation? "Came down from heaven." What do these words imply when Jesus is saying here, "I came down from heaven"? Well, He is implying His own incarnation. He is implying by these words that I had a prior existence before I came into this world. My life did not begin at conception. My life did not begin in that miraculous coming of me. He says, I was pre-existent. I was in eternity past. I came down from heaven. This was difficult for them to grasp. It was difficult for them to accept. They understood what He was saying. They understood what He was implying. But it was very difficult for them to accept and to tolerate this teaching. He was basically saying, "I am in a special relationship with God. I am the Son of God. I was in heaven with God. And now I have come into history as the Son of God." This was hard to tolerate in Jesus' hearers. The second great truth that was hard for them to receive and tolerate was the teaching of His sacrificial substitution. Look again at verse 51. In verse 51 it says, I just read part of that verse a moment ago. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." And then notice this reference to His substitutionary death and sacrifice. He says, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, what is Jesus implying by these words? Jesus is implying by these words that He would die a death and His life would be given up as a substitute and for the life of the world. That was very difficult for them to accept and to tolerate. To look at Jesus Christ and say, "Jesus, you somehow are going to give up your life and your life is going to be given up for the world so that they can have life." Very difficult indeed. It's one thing they may have said to Jesus, "For us to pay for our own sins and for us to have some kind of right standing with God on our terms." But you are saying that somehow you are going to be a substitute and vicariously you are going to give your life for us. Difficult for them to grasp. Difficult even still once they understood for them to accept and tolerate. So we see here the difficult doctrine of the incarnation, the difficult doctrine of His sacrificial substitution. And then note, of course, thirdly, they had difficulty tolerating the doctrine of sovereign salvation. Look at verse 37 again. Verse 37, it says, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Down at verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." What is Jesus talking about? We have already referenced these verses. He is referring to man's utter inability before God. and the absolute necessity of sovereign activity on the Spirit's part in order for men to come to Christ and to embrace Christ. Jesus says, no one can come unless the Father draws. Jesus says that all whom the Father does draw, they will absolutely, with certainty, come unto me. With absolute certainty and without any question as to whether or not they will come. Now, brothers and sisters, these words are not hard to understand. But these words are hard for many folks to embrace. Amen? These words are not easy to tolerate. These words are not easy to accept. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that it's not all about me? That I'm not on the throne making the decisions and it's not all about what I decide to do? Easy to understand, hard to tolerate. And so we see here that these teachings of Jesus Christ, they are the kinds of teachings that arise and certainly arouse the ire and the rebellion of men's wicked hearts. And so here we have something of that teaching. Now back over into verse 60, these were the sayings hard to tolerate. These were the sayings. One thing, of course, for the religious leaders, they had an agenda. They were trying to catch Jesus up. But now we have his apparent adherents. We have these superficial followers in the crowd. Now as his teachings become more clear, they now have real problems with Jesus' teachings. So we see here the rejection of Jesus. Look at verse 61. We note the perception of Jesus. It says, then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. The phrase there that I want you to notice very clearly is in this text, it says, he knew in himself. A very interesting reference to this inside knowledge of the Lord Jesus is also found over in chapter 2. Turn over real quickly to chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 24. Chapter 2 and verse 24. This, of course, was during his Judean ministry. And we have this other reference in chapter 2 of Jesus having this perception, this awareness, this knowledge. It says here, many believed in Jesus. They saw his miracles and they were following after him. In verse 24 it says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And here's the phrase, because he knew all men. So now back over to John chapter 6. This is this knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was not because of information given. It was not because of external indication. It was by Christ's own divine omniscience that he knew in himself that they were murmuring at his sayings. They were grumbling. They were murmuring. They were questioning. They had a problem tolerating and accepting what he had to say. What a sad and yet very true reality. Matthew Henry, in quoting in this verse and commentating on it, he makes a very perceptive statement here about Jesus' perception. And I would like to just quote him here. It's certainly worth our quoting, as Matthew Henry so very often is. He says, note here, Christ takes notice not only of the bold and open defiances that are done to his name and his glory by daring sinners, but of the secret slights that are put upon his doctrine by carnal professors. He knows that which the fool saith in his heart and cannot for shame speak out. He observes how his doctrine is resented by those to whom it is preached, who rejoice in it, who murmur at it, who are reconciled to it, and bow before it, and who quarrel with it, and rebel against it, though ever so secretly. How true that is. Congregation, the Lord still has these same powers of perception. Amen? He knows our hearts. He knows to what extent we receive and embrace and tolerate His teaching. And even today in our world, as we gather together and as we all come together, we recognize that there are some who receive the teachings of Christ, and there are others who do not tolerate these hard sayings. And we know as a very real common experience in church life that there are many folks who are swept up into following Jesus, and they appear to be followers of Jesus. And yet, whenever the claims of Christ are pressed, and whenever the realities of the hard sayings and the difficult doctrines are declared with precision and with clarity, these doctrines become difficult to tolerate, and they walk away and they reject those teachings. It is a sad reality, not merely in Jesus' day, it is true to this very day. Amen? And we are fully aware of it. They reject the doctrines, and they reject those who teach them. Jesus experienced this reality. Now, what was the reaction of Jesus? How did Jesus handle this? The rejection, the perception. What was the reaction of Jesus? Well, Jesus begins in His reaction, verse 61, part B, with asking some questions. He says unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Jesus knew already that it had. And Jesus here is approaching them. He is confronting them. He is challenging them in their rejection of His teaching. "Does this offend you? Do these teachings of mine, do they bother you? Are you offended by them? Can you not tolerate them? Do you not desire to accept them?" And then notice He poses a second question in verse 62. He says, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" The second question in verse 62 is, I will say admittedly, it is a difficult verse to interpret. And I would like to share with you that there are differences of interpretation as to exactly what Jesus is talking about in verse 62. First of all, there are some who look at this verse and say that Jesus here is somehow saying, if it's difficult for you to receive my teaching, what if I just reversed this whole process of redemption that I am about and just went right back up into heaven and everything was reversed and everything was stopped? And there are those who see that is what Jesus is saying in this verse. There are others who look at verse 62 and they say, no, Jesus is talking about His crucifixion. He is saying that He is going to be lifted up, and He is saying to them, what are you going to say when I am lifted up? Is that going to be even more still difficult for you to accept? And then thirdly, there are those who see in these words, focusing upon that phrase, ascend up where I was before, as in what we might say the most natural understanding, He is referring to His ascension in this phrase. And they would see Jesus as referring here in this question to that future, not only crucifixion and resurrection, but His future ascension back into heaven. They would say this is what Jesus is asking. These words here Jesus is saying, it certainly is a retrospective question because He points out where He was before He was in heaven. It is an anticipative question because Jesus is speaking of that future glory where they will see in the future His ascension. And it is a provocative question because this question is basically saying, I want you to think about your rejection of my teaching. I want you to really consider what it is you are rejecting and what it is you are not tolerating, because in the future I will ascend back to the Father. And if this teaching shakes you, what will that do in your reception? Truth is, there were those who did not believe in Christ until after His ascension and after His glorification. And here Jesus says very well this question and probing their rejection of them. I take Jesus' words here as referring to His ascension and His future glory. And He is seeking here to provoke them in their understanding to a greater consideration of His teachings. So Jesus begins with asking some questions. Look at verse 63. Verse 63, He affirms a very important principle. In verse 63, He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus says, first of all, in this principle that He affirms, it is the Spirit which quickeneth. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who gives life. That's the meaning of the word quickeneth there. It is the Spirit who imparts life. It is the Spirit who sustains life. And He says, in contrast to that, the flesh profiteth nothing. He says the flesh and the activities of the flesh, they amount to nothing spiritually. You're trying to accept my teaching or reject my teaching based upon your own reasoning, your own understanding, or your own sense of what is logical or what is reasonable or what it is that you think is palatable in your hearts. And He says you are operating on the wrong level. You're trying to accept that which is spiritual on fleshly terms. In fact, notice He continues in verse 63 and He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." These words that I have said are spiritual in their meaning, and they are life in their giving. And these words you cannot receive merely by your human understanding or by your human will willing to accept the teachings. You need the Spirit and His activity to receive these truths. Look at verse 64. In verse 64, He acknowledged their unbelief. He says, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray Him. Here Jesus acknowledged that indeed there were many who were apparent followers, and yet they did not believe. They did not really walk in the Master's steps and did not really embrace Him as Savior and Lord. Jesus here again in these words here tells us about His insight. These words here speak of Him knowing from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray. Look at verse 65. In verse 65, we note here the explanation of their unbelief. Why was it that they did not believe? Why was it that this majority of followers who once were so enthusiastic about Jesus now were hostile and they were set against Him with a settled opposition to Him and His teaching? Well, we are told. He said, "Therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Brothers and sisters, here again we have this teaching about the sovereignty of God and the necessity of that working of the Spirit of God for people to receive and accept and to embrace our Savior. These words that we find in these verses, they are another response to Jesus Christ. It should not surprise us that the first response, the response of the leaders, the Jews, was rejection. It should not surprise us that the majority of apparent followers, again, their response was rejection. Because apart from the moving of the Spirit of God, apart from the enlightening and the enlivening of that Spirit, no man will come unto me, Jesus says. What about you? What is your response to Jesus Christ? What will your reaction be to these sayings of Christ? Will it be to heed them and receive them and embrace them? Or will it be to reject them and say, we can't tolerate that. We don't desire that. I don't like that. And walk away. That's a very important question. We have emphasized in this sermon the sovereignty of God in this activity, but I want you to notice up in verse 63 the balancing of human responsibility. Verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. But then notice it says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, I am speaking these words unto you. Jesus is speaking these words, my dear friends, unto you. And you are accountable and you are responsible as they were in their rejection of Jesus Christ. Will you embrace? Will you receive? Or will you reject and not have Christ as your Savior? My friend, embrace Him and receive Him today. Let's bow together our heads and hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge that not only in Jesus' day, but in a very pointed sense, in our own day, there is always a spirit of intolerance and rejection and hostility to your words and to those who bring them. Oh God, we acknowledge that this does not surprise us. This does not unsettle us. Because we recognize, apart from your hand of moving and your sovereign activity, no one will tolerate our Savior's words. But, oh God, with the quickening of your Spirit, with the enlivening of your activity, sinners who are dead, they can embrace and receive Christ. Oh God, we pray that you would save sinners today. Those who are here in their sin and who are in a settled sense of opposition and rejection of your truth, change their hearts, change their spirits, and call them to yourself that they might come to embrace our Savior. This we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.